Welcome back to the MetaMinds podcast, where we help you master your mindset. My name's Dan, and I'm a fully qualified counselor.
And my name's Aiden, and I'm a video strategist.
And today's episode, we will be talking about ego for the first time since episode 4. And it's 10 ways that your ego is limiting your potential. Yeah, really big one, I think.
We love talking about ego on this podcast, and that's an egoic statement in itself. We love talking about ego on this podcast, mostly because we've had struggles with ego ourselves, and we think it's really valuable to others that potentially aren't aware of just how much your ego is affecting your life, because it literally affects every decision you make.
Exactly.
So it's literally just for us to look back on ourselves talking about it. It's an ego reaffirming thing.
It is.
This
it
is just for us, basically.
Yeah. So, and as you say quite regularly as well, when it comes to the ego, we've got to thank our ego because it's doing its role. It's trying to protect you and keep you at that equilibrium in your mind. But sometimes it needs to be challenged or questioned or just to be aware of it. So try not to give it all away like I always do at the beginning. Let's dive into number one.
Yeah, so number one is privately belittling people to increase your own self-worth. Now, this is something that I'm very, very guilty of, and I can be guilty with particular friends as well. And this is where it can get really toxic, because you hang out with a particular friend, and often, sometimes, like, the thing that you actually share the most with that person is your hatred of another person. And like, that is clearly not healthy at all, where you like can't wait to just, you know, belittle and hate on a particular person. I think there is an element of like, you can do it in like a fun kind of way, but you can clearly see when it gets a little bit too toxic and you're like, oh, okay, a lot of what we're talking about here is literally just bashing on that one person. And that person's never had anything to do with your life at all. You know, and they're never going to cross paths with you, but you're just all of a sudden sitting in this like pool of negativity.
Yeah. It's only
negatively affecting your life, you know, rather than being like, oh, that person's on a journey and I'm on a journey. Everything's okay, you know?
But
I can't believe that person's doing that. I hate them so much, you know what I mean?
Exactly, yeah. And then I'm going to screw up the expression, but there's an expression that basically said small-minded people talk about other people, great minds or good minds speak about events or things that have happened, and then exceptional or outstanding minds speak about what is possible in the future, like what dreams or aspirations you achieve. So that right there sums it up, like small-minded people, which I'm not saying everyone's got elements.
Whatever, man. I'm not small-minded.
But, you know, when people, and you notice it quite commonly, like in previous jobs I've had, I have noticed that people who are, you know, in that mindset, they regularly go to that as a way of communication. It's to try to talk about someone else and to have a common enemy or someone who you're going to belittle, because in turn, that's going to make you feel a little bit better about yourself.
Yeah. It's defending and protecting, and reaffirming your own like status kind of thing, because you're like, that person's doing something that's better than me, whether it's in the same field as you or in a different field as you, but you just resent them for, you know, putting themselves out there.
Yeah.
And that's where a lot of internet hate comes from.
For sure.
You guys suck. I can't believe you're doing this. It's like, do you genuinely believe that the person you're commenting on sucks? Or is there a deeper reason? You know what I mean?
For sure.
So that's number one. And I'm definitely guilty of that one. And I do my best to kind of be aware of it when I am doing that. As I said, like, you know, you can have a bit of fun with it, like, you know, but when all you're talking about is like, I can't believe this, like I hate
exactly,
this
person, yeah. It's like, there's nothing there, and that is almost a way of passing the buck or pushing the energy away from you. So instead of talking about you and what things you're going through, it's easier to talk about someone else and what they're not doing. And it is very common for people to be negative about other people who are successful. You know, it's that natural thing. If someone's in a position that they're not happy with and they resent maybe the decisions they've made in their past, of course, it's a natural thing for the ego to go, oh, well, that person's trying to be successful. Nah, don't care about it. Look at all these other things they're doing wrong. Why are they wasting their time, you know? And that's a common thing for the ego to do. So
that's the thing. It's easy, you know?
Yeah.
And that's why, you know, it's not your fault that ego is doing this kind of thing. It's just easier to be like, oh, I've never met this person before. It's like, oh, I hate this. What about you? Do you hate that as well? I'm like, yeah, for sure. But
yeah,
you know, and like the flip of that is like a lot of people, you know, feel like, what positive things are you doing? And you're like, I'm doing these 10 positive things. And all of a sudden people resent you for that. Like they don't want to hear about that. So it's almost easier and more relatable to talk about them.
For sure. Anyway. Yeah. And another little quick thing on that as well is when people make these comments, they don't know the whole picture. You know, they'll make this negative comment about this person's doing this, but they don't actually know any of the context. You have no idea most of the time what other people's experiences are of life, right? Like, we never know that. I don't know what your experience of life is at any point, right? Like, we may know each other, but I have no idea. So
I've never met you before. I don't know.
I'm Dan.
So number two, identifying with something. Now, this is a huge one, and we could honestly spend a whole episode on this, and we probably should.
And we will.
But really, like, the whole kind of premise of the ego is that it identifies with particular things. Now, mm-hmm. it can do that in a really healthy way. For example, I am a video strategist. If that was, you know, if I didn't have an ego in the intro, I would say I am human consciousness. You know, that's me not identifying with it. Well, actually,
well, you are
me identifying with human, with human consciousness. I could be an alien, dude.
Yeah.
But basically, you know, I'm identifying with a role of somebody that, you know, does marketing, that does video marketing for businesses.
For sure.
And that helps you, but can also hinder you because, you know, you're identifying with that particular thing. So as soon as somebody questions that, or for example, if that role is taken away from you,
mm-hmm.
then all of a sudden, you have this, feel as anxious and you're like, what's going on? It's because part of your sense of self has just been stripped away from you.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You know? That's it, man. And the funny thing that I immediately thought, which is a little meta, I guess, is identifying with nothing is still identifying with something, right? So even if you take a stance and you go, oh, nothing, you know, you don't have any connection to it, don't have any thoughts about it or whatever, or you just push it across as nothing, that's still identifying with something. That's still having a stand, right? So at any point, it's just common for us to identify. We're meaning makers. We identify with everything in our environment. That's how we make meaning and move forward. So I guess you can't avoid it. It's just something that's going to happen. So it's just being aware that you potentially have things that you identify more towards than other things. And is it helpful to identify fully with something? Or I don't want to ruin other points, but or to loosely hold that thing, you know? So if I identify with being a counselor or being a video guy, like you said, you know, maybe later on I'll be a public speaker. Who knows?
Perhaps, yeah. Well, like, and yeah, to kind of build on that, it's like, it is a really, you know, it's impossible for us not to be, otherwise we'd just be, we talk about like,
yeah.
you just be, if anyone's seen The Simpsons, like that Mr. Burns on the episode just floating through them, mm-hmm. be like, ah, like that would be you being pure consciousness, right? You wouldn't be identified with anyone and someone would be like, hello, what's your name? And you just go, ah, you know, you wouldn't be of use to anybody or yourself even, you know? So mm-hmm. we do need to identify with things. We do of need course. Our ego.
Yeah.
It's helpful to us. And so, yeah, when you identify with a bunch of different things that are actually helping you and lifting you up, mm-hmm. then that is a really positive thing. But if you're too closely identifying with it, then when it's questioned, then all of a sudden, exactly. dive into point three here, you get defensive.
Exactly.
Yeah. And so that's it. Like number three is you, you know, get defensive with what you identify with. You kind of, yeah, close-minded on that. So all yeah. of a sudden, I'm like, Dan, I can't believe you're doing this thing. And because you've identified with that thing, you just arc up and you're like, well, this is why, because of this. And like,
exactly.
whatever, even if it's rational or irrational, you're like, this is why, and you're never going to change my mind.
Mm-hmm.
Comes yep. down to like communication, because if I was like, oh, have you thought about it this way, man? Then you might be like, oh, maybe. You know?
For sure, yeah. But, and honestly, like with my work in the counseling space, a lot of the time it is asking a question that will not initiate the ego. You're trying to ask something in a tentative, careful manner. You're trying to challenge carefully as such, because as you would know with a lot of things, like even the example with my computer, talking about upgrading that, you presented that with the value of maybe you should future-proof it, but my mind immediately went to, oh, but no, it's fine what I've got. You know, like I've already thought about it. It's good. And I didn't react in that presented manner to you. I was trying to be calm, but in my body, I could feel myself going, no, I've already thought about it.
I've like, identified
it's with, a defensive thing. Yeah. yeah. So it's almost just not being rigid and not being so set in something, you know, being flexible with the concept of things can change, you know, like when you think about, you know, Benjamin Hardy did this to us. Like when we think about our personality 10 years ago to where we're at now, it's constantly changing. We're not the same people we were 10 years ago. But if we're so rigid and fixed that we are this same person and we have this mentality that I'm always going to be a victim or I'm always going to be X, Y, Z, then you will hold that. You'll identify with it and it's just going to be who you are as such.
And so just on that, guys, like when Dan did get defensive about his computer thing, I just want to let you know, he did come around and he did actually get the better computer parts. So my ego won. So I'm better than Dan.
Exactly right.
And that's what this podcast is about. Man. Yep. Like I don't have a strong ego. I'm just the best in the world. You mm-hmm, know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So that will wrap up the episode there.
No. Nicely done.
But it's so interesting how pretty much all these points where it's all our own egos that for we're sure. talking about. Like we're just observing our experience of reality
mm-hmm.
and maybe you'll get some value out of it. So
yeah. And like just quickly for another thing, like without kind of undermining certain institutes or certain things that we subscribe to, but if you look at, you know, religion or politics or anything that has like a big debate about it, war, money, whatever it may be, a lot of the time it is the fact that one party is so identified with one thing and the other party is so identified with the opposite. So then you're going to constantly butt heads. So it's the idea that you need to be a little bit flexible, stop yeah. being so rigid in everything.
Well, and that to zoom out, like we're talking about 10 ways that ego is limiting your potential. These are, that is a way mm. why, where the whole world is being controlled by by a number of small people's egos.
Mm-hmm,
literally
mm-hmm.
the reason like politics and a lot of the whole reason that is the way it is because somebody gets into a particular point of power and it's not enough power for them. They need more power. For what reason? They've already got billions of dollars. Like they could buy them whatever they wanted, whenever they wanted.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, we're getting off track here, but ego rules the world. And this is why it's so important that if we can make a change in ourselves, we can change the world and our immediate world around us and live a life that you don't even think is possible.
Exactly. And imagine the potential of the next generation, the millennials and the post-millennials, whatever they're called. Imagine them questioning it a little bit and then instilling it in their kids. And then, imagine if ego was a common thing we spoke about. Imagine if we were speaking about that at home with our parents or in school. It would be a completely different world, but it's not really spoken about. It's not a common thing we talk about. Anyway, moving on to the next one.
A little bit quicker, I think.
Yeah.
So having a closed mind. So having a closed mind, again, is going to stop you from so many things. And it kind of comes back to the whole identifying and defending something as well. Because if you believe one particular thing, you literally just hit on that point there, man. Whereas like you believe one particular thing and somebody hits you with knowledge, whether the way they communicate it is like, this is the right way to go about it. Or, hey, have you thought about it from this angle? You know what I mean? A really non-egoic way of presenting a new potential information. But if you don't have an open mind and you have a closed mind, then you are going to stay identified with that idea. And you go, nope, everything I know is like this. And this is, you know, and the ways I do this, it's like, you know, if you try and flip it and someone else comes up at you with like some more info, your initial reaction is to be like, no, I know this and because of this. And there are particular things like, for example, plant-based eating. I'm definitely heavily identified with that because I genuinely believe that is the way to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of like scientific evidence to back that up, for example. But, you know, then somebody comes at me with like, oh, but this because of this. And it's like my initial reaction to be egoic and defensive.
For sure.
But what if they have some knowledge that I don't have? What if it's helping them in a particular way that I don't know about?
Exactly right, man.
And if I'm closed-minded, then I'm just initially going to be like, no.
Yeah. And like I've had that experience is a really good example because I'm eating more plant-based now than I ever have. And I remember when you presented that information to me.
Calling me out live. And
it was quite egoic and to the point. Like it was blunt. And it is the fact that you identify with this thing as this has made such a difference in my life. And the intention is good. You want me to have a healthy life and you want me to see the benefits. And the way you presented to me
is with aggression.
It was aggression. And I just disregarded it. I was like, I don't really care. Yeah. You know,
like shut up.
Shut up, basically. But when we had Kia on the podcast for those episodes and she presented it in just a very lovely, neutral manner where it was like, I agree, you know, people can have their own opinions and whatever else, that then helped my mind go, okay, well, maybe I'll dabble with this idea. And then when I did a bit more research on my own, I then came to the conclusion that I would like to eat more so this way. So it all
comes. So you're saying nothing I've said has helped. Is that what you're saying?
Well, basically,
I'll leave right now.
Is that okay?
This podcast is your podcast now, okay? All right, moving on.
But yeah, it's just so, it's interesting because it's exactly that. You're trying to do such a lovely thing. Well, yeah, you know? Exactly.
It's
right.
Like, I was just in that anger phase of like relatively new to it. So it's like, it's wrong and this is why it's wrong. And you're, you know, killing innocent babies and stuff like that, you know? And your initial reaction is like, oh man,
I
don't want to know about this, you know, as everyone would be.
Yeah, exactly right.
But if it was like, oh yeah, I guess I see it like this. I don't know. What do you think about that? Exactly. You actually have to think about it. So communication is a big part. What was the point that we were talking about there?
Having a closed mind.
Have an open mind, guys.
Have an open mind, yeah.
Fear of rejection.
This is number five.
Failure. Yeah, number five.
Fear of rejection or failure. Take it away. Yeah, it's a big one. I think this is a very common thing that a lot of us experience, that fear of rejection and failure is a common thing that's embodied in us, you know, whether that's from our parents or from the systems that we're subscribing to, like whatever it may be. It is a very competitive world. It's a very individualistic world we live in the Western world. And it's drive forward that, you know, capitalism and individuality is the way to move forward and progress. So, of course, you're naturally going to have more of a rejection and failure mindset, but a counter to that is maybe collaborative mindset, you know, instead of worrying about rejection and worrying that people are going to not accept your viewpoint or you're seen as a failure because you have this opinion. It's kind of that idea of maybe connecting with your tribe, connecting with people who have similar values instead of thinking about these imaginary people who would put you down as a failure as such. Because a lot of the time it is imagined, you know?
So to dive into a little bit more, give a bit more context, like a way where this has stopped me a lot in the past and had some imposter syndrome is that potentially, you know, like the person that I was in school was a particular person and I identified with being that person for a long time until I realized that personality isn't permanent. Good Dr. book. Benjamin Hardy.
Yeah.
He's getting too many shout outs.
Yeah. Need to,
but basically, and so then, you know, over the years, it's been 10 years since school now, kind of thing. Like, I've been molded and shaped into a different person, but my ego still identifies with potentially that person and the perceptions that other people in that environment had of me.
Mm-hmm.
So that, like, often, like, when I'm doing something like starting a podcast, mm-hmm. self development podcast, who am I to do that?
Mm-hmm.
All of a sudden, I'm putting my views out there, trying to help other people, trying to help myself. You know, but then like the imaginary people that I make up that try and stop me, that I'm afraid of rejecting me or making negative comments or thinking bad things, doing number one, privately belittling people to increase their own, which is what that ego reaction is,
mm-hmm.
is these people from a past life 10 years ago that I think, you know, have this perception of myself that's the person that I'm like, oh, but if I put this out there, mm-hmm. what would potentially that person think? And it's like, I haven't seen that person in 10 years.
Exactly. And that's the point. I'm
a completely different person. They're a completely different person. Yeah. Whatever they think or feel, or even if they comment on it, will never, ever affect me.
Exactly right.
But my ego still stops me. It's like, oh, maybe don't do that, man, because what if someone thinks
a particular thing? What happens if Joe Blow from 10 years ago, who I saw in the, you know, in the schoolyard, said this thing about me? And the reality is that the type of person you want in your life anyway? Have you connected with this imaginary person in the last 5 years? Probably not. So it's almost peeling it back and going, what am I actually fearful of?
Yeah.
Like, what is it I'm actually worried about?
And like, we don't want to take away from it. It's a very, very valid thing. Like, again, it's your ego trying to protect you, because it's like, if you're not accepted socially,
mm-hmm.
then, you know, this is the main fear these days, because you're not going to get eaten by tigers often. I mean, I don't know. There is a tiger.
There is a tiger. Yeah, what's going on with that?
Thing up, dude.
Yeah.
But, you know, we're more afraid of social rejection than we are of like physical, you know,
of course,
fears now.
As humans, one of our needs, our urges is belonging, right? So that's where it's coming from for the most part. You know, we're worried that we're not going to belong and that we'll be rejected. So like you said, it's coming from a good place, and it's our ego. So pet your ego on the back for trying to help you out.
Bud, thanks, man.
Thanks for that. But it's probably not relevant. You know, I'm trying to do this to help other people or whatever it may be.
So. And often like with that one, when you actually do take this step and you do the thing, you see that you never actually experienced any of that potential pain that you thought you were having.
Yeah, exactly.
Which then gives you confidence to kind of do it again.
Yeah.
So one way that, you know, is ego is limiting your potential is your fear of rejection.
Yeah.
So if you take that first step, do that thing, it's going to perpetual, like, mm-hmm. I don't know what that word was. That
yeah, like perpetually push that narrative in your mind. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, cool. So number six, revolving the conversation around you.
Now, I never revolve the conversation around me. I never do this. So, like, guys, have you ever noticed when you're in a conversation with somebody and they're talking and you have this thing right here and you're like, just shut up so I can say this thing. And they finish that. And then all of a sudden the conversation kind of changes a bit and you're like, but I don't get to say the thing that I was mm-hmm. ready to say.
Mm-hmm.
You're not listening to that person.
Exactly right.
Just waiting for your turn.
You want to push your own agenda. And you
everybody's guilty of
this. Of course, yeah. It's a natural thing. And it is quite a common way for people to communicate. That's the only way that they can relate to other people, through their own experience. So for those people, they can't actually see through the eyes of someone else. So it is quite a common thing for people to think that.
Something really magic happens when you're actually having a conversation with somebody.
Mm.
And if you can see that little thing right here that's just dying to get out of your brain, and you just push that aside, and you're not identified with whether you say that or not,
mm-hmm.
that's just a thought you have on what they're saying right now. But okay, push that aside and just focus on mm-hmm. what that person is saying. And like, the actual conversation and kind of the energy and the magic that kind of comes out of that, it's like nothing else, really.
Exactly.
That's true human connection right there. And if you can do that and push your ego aside, like, you've won.
Exactly.
You know?
And you revolving the conversation around you, that will never open up the opportunity for you to be an active listener. You're not genuinely engaged in that conversation process. And for the most part, you are missing on valuable things that the other person's talking about. You're not actually allowing that other person to express what they need to express, maybe. And in turn, it's just going to create very surface level conversations. And it's just going to keep going back and forth where you're trying to find an opportunity to speak.
And if you're friends with that person and you're doing that a lot, or they're doing that a lot, like perhaps you have noticed a friend of yours doing this a lot,
mm-hmm.
then all of a sudden, like, you know, there's going to be this imbalance and that person's going to be like, oh, I don't really know what that is, but I don't really want to hang out with that person because it doesn't really feel like we're having an even, you know,
mm-hmm.
it's like all about that person.
Exactly.
We all have that one friend. Okay.
Yeah.
And like, again, there's nothing wrong with it. There's like being the dominant, the center, the talking.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
And I'm that a lot. And I do that a lot, you know?
And it's, you know, the way that their communication style and their brain has developed. So again, it's just something that has happened. And you don't have to be completely hard on yourself and go, I'm that person. Wow, that's so terrible. Like, recognizing that is probably the most powerful thing. Yeah, recognizing that you do that. That's taking a step. So if you can be aware,
then you will crush through that potential.
You know? Yeah, for sure.
So moving on.
Number seven.
Being selflessly selfish. Mm. Now, I won't call out a particular person in my life that does this, but if you're listening, you know who you are. But I will tell a little story, and it's going to give it away. basically, we were in Budapest, okay? And we're walking along the street, and he picks up a bit of rubbish, and he puts it in the bin, and looks, he's like, yeah, I picked up a bit of rubbish, or whatever he said. And I was immediately like, no.
Yeah.
Like, for some reason, I have this thing where it's like, when I see an ego, like, taking place, I'm like, ah, no. Now, I wish I could do it more with myself, but I just happen to be good at it with other people.
Yep.
Call his ego out immediately. I was like, you did that. And then you would immediately ask for external validation. You're being selflessly selfish. You're like, look at this good-natured thing that I did. Can you validate it?
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, when you're doing it for that reason, then it's like, ooh, it's, you know, because that's all ego, bro.
Yeah, you're doing it for external validation.
But then to get another level meta,
mm-hmm.
if you do that and then you actively don't look for external validation, then you reward your own self and props up your own ego because you didn't look for that other validation.
Mm.
So there's two levels to be careful of.
Of course, yeah.
Because, I sometimes do that. It's like, you know, helping an old lady across the street. How often does that actually happen?
People yep. say
that. But anyway, you know, it's something like that.
For sure.
And it's like, I did that thing and I didn't tell anybody about it. Look at me, you know? Yeah, so it's like,
of course,
levels to it, man.
There is, for sure. And, you know, a lot of actions that you can do, even if it's internal validation that you're trying to get, it feels good to do something selfless. So in turn, you are rewarding yourself.
That's it.
With a bit of an ego trip.
Yeah.
Doing something nice. Yeah, it feels nice, you know?
But then if you have to tell somebody about it, then it's just for your ego and you're looking for validation, propping yourself up. You should do things just for the sake of actually doing that thing and helping that person. And you will get rewarded for that internally.
For
you know?
Sure, yeah.
But again, be careful because if your ego then you know thinks that you're awesome because you are then helping other people and
that's it.
It's too much.
Yeah.
Why should we focus on ego at all? It's too hard, Dan.
Yeah.
So anything else on that?
On being selflessly selfish.
No, I think we covered it all.
I think that's pretty good.
I'm sure everybody listening would be able to.
They would know someone, or they would have done it themselves.
Yeah, themselves. Honestly, yeah. everyone's done that
for sure.
Sorry for calling out my friend there, but sorry, bud, you deserve it. rehearsing alternative scenarios. Oh my god.
Yeah, yeah.
I do this so much, man, and it's really hard to stop, especially if you have an active mind.
Mm-hmm.
So to dive into what I kind of mean about that is that either something has happened in the past, or you feel a particular way about a person. And you basically rehearse a scenario in the future or in the past. Mm-hmm. So it literally happened to me the other day. Somebody said something to me, and then I was like, said something in the scenario. And then about 5 minutes later, I was like, oh, I wish I said this. But then the conversation had changed, and I became fully identified with re-rehearsing that conversation as if, oh, what if they said that? And then I said this.
Exactly.
And then they'd be like, that guy's sick, man. And I'm like, yeah. And then, you know, then my ego would be like bigger or whatever. But also it happens in the future where it's like, you know, oh, this person said this to me one time 5 years ago. It's like, if I ever see them again, I'm going to be like, I'm going to say one thing mm-hmm. and they're going to feel so dumb. I'm going to feel so sick, man.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And you're like trying to go to sleep, right? And your mind just playing this scenario, this acting scenario back with this other person. It's just not helpful
at all.
It's
not relevant. It's a lot of resources.
Bringing you down.
Yeah, for sure. It's a lot. And it is very common for people to have that experience. Like the one that you explained really resonates with me where you will leave a particular situation and you'll be kicking yourself that you didn't say a particular thing or that you let that other person say something. Yeah. Or, you know, it's a common thing because in hindsight, you think, of course, what you could have done or what you should have done. But recognizing that in the moment, sometimes things just happen or the conversation changes or whatever it may be. Things are fluid in a conversation. So
just like your gender.
There you go.
Okay. All right.
So I guess it's yeah, it's the ego trying to obviously have that power and that equilibrium to go, well, if this ever happens again, if they ever say that again, I know how I'm going to react.
Yeah,
and
because it's future-proofing it so many times. Yeah. But then you actually have that conversation with that person and it goes totally different.
Of course, yeah. It's not going to go that way, is it?
Or they're just nice to you. You know? And then all of a sudden you've wasted all this time.
Exactly.
When you're trying to fall asleep. And it's like, look, it's kind of hard to have some practical advice on this because it's like, when it's happening, it's just like, again, it just comes back to trying to be aware of when that's happening.
Exactly.
Potentially go straight to your breath, try and meditate kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But that's one that I get sucked into all the time, man.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter how much I meditate, my ego, it's a strong boy. It's a slippery boy.
For sure, yeah. And it comes rehearsing. From every avenue. Like you and I have spoken about job opportunities where we rehearse the possibility with that, or friendships.
That's potentially like a positive way to,
oh, know, for sure, yeah.
To practice.
I think, and also like rehearsing something, like you're going to fall back on your like most prepared plan anyway. So these things that you're preparing for and you're planning, yes, it may not go the same way that you wanted it to, but you may have thought about a particular phrase or a particular way of framing it that might actually just come out anyway. So you rehearsing that, you are a little bit more prepared than just going in naturally. So there's obviously relevance to it. It's just more so if it's consuming your daily life and if it's actually impacting on, you know, you falling asleep or you doing particular things, then it becomes a bit of a problem.
Yeah.
So I think there is value to, well, the ego is obviously playing a role anyway. You know, it's trying to do something. So there's relevance to what it's doing. But yeah, so I think that's
again, a big protecting one. You. It's trying to protect you.
Yeah, exactly right.
So, but yeah. If you just like let all of that go, then you'd be much more present more often. And then when that actual time comes, you probably have more like love for that person. You're like, hey man, how are you going?
Yeah.
You know, rather than, I feel this rage for you because I've practiced hating you a lot, you know,
yep.
When I'm naked and trying to fall asleep, you know, like apathetic. I
love it how you add naked falling asleep.
Yeah, just trying to paint a picture of how really,
oh,
like,
you painted
really pathetic that situation is.
Yeah, exactly.
Ego is just spending hours like, you know.
Yeah. And then when you flip that as well, a lot of the time it happens as well where you'll over rehearse something, you'll overthink something. And then when you finally have the opportunity to bring it up with that person or you finally have that conversation, for the most part, they have no idea. They're not thinking about it for the most part.
Yeah, that's it.
And they're just like, oh, I didn't realize that was a thing. I'm really sorry. And then all that prep you've done, you're like, oh, okay, that's cool.
So what I'm hearing from that is, man, that like basically you make a scenario bigger than it actually is.
Mm-hmm.
One person said a particular comment one time and, you know, maybe they were having a bad day or they said it in a way and then you took it in a particular way. And then because you spend an hour or 10 hours rehearsing you coming back onto that thing, rather than just hating that person, like, hey man, you said this thing, I feel a little bit weird about it. Like, did you mean like this? I just want to be sure because exactly. I, you know, I'm feeling a bit weird about it. I don't want to be sure that we're, you know, but it's so easier for you to just rehearse that. And all of a sudden you make this huge thing. This is another kind of point almost. There you go, 8.5. You're getting lucky, guys. That it's like you make something bigger than it actually is because you've built up this scenario in your head.
Yeah.
So, guys, just while we're on this point, if you have experienced one of those at all where you have this rehearsing scenario, please let us know in the comments or let us know on an iTunes rating or whatever app you're on in the rating
or a video message on Instagram.
We'd love to hear from you guys. So if you've experienced that, hit us with a story of when you've done that because we'd love to have a bit of a laugh about it together. So moving on.
Yep. So number 9 is thinking you know it all.
So Dan thinks he knows it all a lot, guys. I don't know if you picked it up, but he's always grilling me on the podcast and I never grill him.
No, never.
So what you're was a lovely person. What is the context of this one basically?
It's the idea of being very rigid and set in your ways. So thinking that you know it all means that you don't have the flexibility to see another opinion. So again, it's that idea of if you subscribe to something so heavily, the plant-based thing is a good example, that is the truth. I know that this is the truth and the enlightenment, the way of moving forward and being healthier. So you are so fixed and rigid on that thing that you think you know it all. And that if someone presents another piece of information, your ego is going to go, no. I don't believe it.
Yeah,
I don't believe it.
I don't believe that.
So it literally is, again, it's the idea of, you know, so 10 ways that your ego is limiting your potential. You think that you know everything, which no one knows everything. There's no possible way to know everything. There's no way to read every single book.
To get a bit more specific, it's not about not knowing everything on everything.
No.
But for example,
on a particular scenario,
you know, when I'm on a film set and in artistic environments, egos can just thrive and come out, man. And so if like I'm in a particular scenario on a film set and I know a lot about sound post-production and then somebody comes along and says that they have a podcast and they do audio engineering, I'm like, really? I bet I know more than you about audio engineering. And then you ask them a particular question to kind of test where you're like, oh yeah, you do know that? Well, I knew that about him. You know what I mean?
Exactly,
like,
yeah.
And so it's kind of like thinking you know more than other people as well. And that's like that identification and that ego. Like, instead of someone comes at you, instead of being like, oh, that's cool, you're into that as well.
Exactly.
Let's have a chat about this.
Collaborative. What
are you passionate about? Yeah, exactly. Instead, you're like, I know more than this person. This person needs to get out of my space. Like, they're killing my vibe. And what was the other, the flip of it that you were talking about with your counseling model going in with a...
Yeah, so it's the idea of staying in that beginner mindset or that student mindset. So, you know, there was an example with my previous work where I interacted with someone who you know, had more knowledge in the role, and even though I had more qualifications than them, so on paper I had more status as such, quotation marks for people listening, I recognized that they had had more experience in this role, so therefore they could be my teacher, they could help me through this process. You know, I could have gone in very closed-minded and gone, I know what I'm doing, I don't need to listen to you, but me being that way, I actually learned so much from that person, and I really valued the conversations I had with that person, because they actually helped me in this particular role, which in turn helped my own development anyway. So it's that idea, similar to what you said on a film set, or, you know, in a studio when you're producing music, it's the idea that yes, you think you know quite a lot, and this person may know a lot as well, but I'm sure that you can learn from each other. You know, like if you go in with the idea that, hey, like I know quite a lot about Final Cut Pro, like what kind of things do you do? Or what shortcuts do you use? Or whatever the example may be, there's potential to learn and grow with someone else instead of knowing it all and thinking that you know everything about a particular software or a particular way of being.
Well, and that's it, because the other thing is, often when I'm in that scenario, I can often almost embarrass myself by, like, I think that I know so much, and then it's revealed that actually this person's been doing this for like 40 years or something like that. Then all of a sudden my ego that was so identified with this thing just is actually like, oh, and it gets more defensive because it's like, oh, how do I actually show that I do know more than this person, even though they've just proved that they know more than me, you know? So it's like, again, if you approach it from like, I wonder what wisdom this person has that they could bestow on me.
Yes.
Because they might learn something from me, I might learn something from them. And it's that curious kind of mindset rather than that I know it kind of mindset. It's not easy.
And it's not easy at all. No, not at all.
This is the whole thing that we're talking about here. And this moves us nicely onto number 10.
Final point.
Is that...
Well, 10.1, dude. You know,
10.1, 10.5, whatever. 10.5,
whatever, yeah.
The number one way that your ego is limiting your potential is by not being self-aware. And we've probably said it 10 times in this podcast alone.
Naturally.
Because if your ego is doing anything and you're back here observing your ego, it's just throwing thoughts into your brain. You know, like thoughts just appear out of consciousness, as Sam Harris says. And then your ego attaches itself to thoughts and goes, I like that one. I'll take that on. And that's part of my identity. I like that one. But if you just saw these thoughts happening, the stream of consciousness, and then you picked the ones that were useful to you and threw away the other ones, then you would be this crazy present being. Fortunately, it's not that easy. But if you're self-aware and you can see these things as they happen, you're not going to be able to do it all the time.
No,
exactly. But if and when you do it, that's when you know, cultivate this self-awareness for your own ego.
Yep.
You see just how much it affects your life.
Yeah, exactly. And even if there's anything from the, you know, 10.5 points that we've made so far, it is just recognizing it could be that step towards some sort of meaningful change or some sort of, you know, collaborative way of being with another person. So it is that idea of a good example of that is the revolving the conversation around you. That's a really easy one to recognize if you are like attuned to that concept. Because like you said, and everyone naturally has that idea because we are human beings, we're trying to relate with other people. So when you feel that thought come around to the front and, you know, they've made a comment about something, you're resonating with that, you want to blurt that out to them. It's just recognizing that, and instead of interrupting them, just letting the conversation go, because that person is clearly saying something for a reason, and you coming in and, you know, interrupting their flow, that's not helpful for anyone. You know, the conversation's going to go stale then, or then you're talking about yourself again. So it's just trying to recognize it is hard, but probably like the early step that will help you on your journey towards questioning your ego or recognizing your ego.
Which is just going to make a better life for you.
Yeah, yeah.
And the other thing is, like, when you see, this is something that really I need to practice, when you see other people's ego, I mentioned, like, for some reason, I can see when other people's ego is doing a particular thing. Instead of being like, ha, I call that ego out, because then again, that's my ego, right? Then instead, approaching it from a loving point of view of like, I noticed that person's ego was the reason they said or did that particular thing. And that means that their ego is trying to protect them or make them feel good about a particular thing. So if they've embarrassed themselves or whatever the situation is, instead of approaching it from a loving point of view, being like, ah, that's really cool, man. You know, and you can kind of guide the situation rather than being like, your ego did that, you suck. Like you can guide the situation to help them potentially realize that it was their ego and help them grow and develop in that situation if you approach it from a bit more of a loving point of view. But instead, it's my ego feeling good because I've pointed out their ego. So you are not your ego.
Egoception.
Egoception. Ego metaception. I think we've covered off on a lot of points here, guys. And if you've gotten any value out of it, please chuck us a rating on iTunes or any other app with potentially whose ego is bigger, which one.
That would be nice.
God knows it's going to be me.
Maybe we should put a poll on our Instagram
story. Yeah, we will, actually.
There you go. But yeah, if anything in here has resonated with you, if there's any story that really clicked with you as is something that you're maybe a culprit of doing, We would love to hear that, because as we mentioned throughout this, we are not, you know, absorbed from this idea. Like, this is
still something perfect. We
constantly come up against.
Day to day.
You can't get rid of the ego. No. That's something that you will not get rid of. It will be there.
Yeah, and the funniest thing is, like, when you think you're getting a handle on it over a period of weeks or months, something will happen and you're like, oh my God, my ego's been in control the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
Just when you think you're like, oh yeah, I'm going to be a bit more present and in whatever, you know, I'm being good. I mean, your slippery ego has actually been in control the whole time.
Yep.
You will never escape it. It's the biggest battle you have on a day-to-day basis. And while we're on that note, we're Audible affiliates.
Yes.
So you can jump on Audible, have a book on us, mm-hmm. and one that I would recommend by Ryan Holiday. Any of his three books, but one of them is called The Ego is the Enemy. That's actually the one that I haven't read.
Cool.
But he's got two others, Stillness is the Key and The Object is the Way. Mm-hmm. But he's basically talking about philosophers and Stoics throughout all of history and how they've kind of dealt with a lot of these particular scenarios.
Great.
So jump on, grab that if you're interested in more ego stuff. But thank you very much for listening and getting meta with us today.
And that's it.
Yeah, cheers.
Thanks, guys.
See you next time.